Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49, which is our key passage during this missions conference. And what a tremendous missions conference it has been. As I prayed, I've been impressed this week for the great privilege we have here at Calvary to be active partners with our brothers and sisters in all of these countries. So I hope you've availed yourselves of the many opportunities and to continue to pray for them. I love the theme of this conference, Light for the Nations. And we saw this comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 49, at the end of verse 6, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. A light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And over in the New Testament, turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13, where we see the outworking of this very scripture as the disciples take seriously the command of the Lord given in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 to go and make disciples of all of the nations. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. And Paul and Silas spoke out boldly. The fact that there is opposition doesn't mean that we are not bold in our proclamation. These apostles spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, or it could be translated the nations. The Greek word ethnos. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And here Paul is quoting the scripture we've read, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Notice, he takes this as a command from the Lord. As the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you, the apostles, my followers, a light for the nations, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We learned last Sunday morning and evening that Isaiah is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, the true servant of the Lord. And it is true that Israel was to be the light for the nations, but the full fulfillment of this prophecy is realized in our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes as a Savior of the world. Will you stand and read this verse again with me? I think we have it on these screens. So it's underlined. Let us not forget this. Let's read it together. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thank you. Please be seated. I'm intrigued by that expression, the end of the earth. The Lord's disciples were commanded to be witnesses, Acts 1:8. Remember, they had to wait on the Spirit. The Spirit was going to fill them, and they were to be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. To the Romans of the first century, the end of the earth, it was called Ultima Thule. It was a distant place located beyond the borders of the known world. To them, the end of the earth was probably, we think, the remote northern European islands, such as the Shetland Islands, away to the north of Scotland, or the Faroe Islands, where my wife comes from, or Iceland, or northern Norway, the end of the earth. Incidentally, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but when I looked at the picture of the world on our brochure, there is no United Kingdom. There is no Scotland. And you know, it should be in the very center of the world, but there we are. I guess whoever did that thought it was the end of the world. But don't you praise God that in His grace, someone brought the gospel to you. I don't know what you think when you hear the expression, the end of the earth. It all depends where you are in the world. It all depends what you know of our wonderful planet. But how wonderful that God in His grace brought the gospel to you, that the light of the world shone into your heart. But who is going to continue to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at this service, I'm going to ask you at the end for your personal response as we use that card. Let me remind you that Jesus is the light for the nations. When our Lord Jesus comes, he says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Notice it, not just to the Jews, not just to Israel, but I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is, our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. And that when he comes, he dispels darkness. Those who follow Jesus will never walk in darkness, but will have spiritual light. Without the life and the light of Jesus Christ, we are in the darkness. We are blind to spiritual realities, and we're blind to the truth, blind to the light. In fact, we don't want the light. Stories told of the desert nomad who was hungry in the middle of the night, and he lit a candle in his little tent and began eating dates in a bowl beside him. He took a bite from one of the dates and found to his disgust that there was a worm in it, and he threw the date out of the tent. He took another date and bit into it, and again, there was a terrible worm in it, and he threw the date out of the tent. The third time, he bit into the date, and there again was a worm in the date. So guess what he did? He thought, you know, if this continues, I'm going to have no more dates to eat. So he put out the light and quickly ate the rest of the dates. Rather than facing the reality he was eating worms, he chose the dark. Isn't that where many people are? Jesus says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And all of us, left to ourselves, choose the darkness. And the consequences of that to ourselves and to those we love are absolutely devastating. But into the world, in the grace of God, this is the gospel. God, in great love, sends his Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and he comes to dispel the darkness. Spiritually speaking, we are blinded, Paul says. The God of this world has blinded your minds. Yes, all of us, not just people who follow Muhammad, not just animists, but all of us, our minds are blinded. But, says Paul, when the gospel comes, he prays that they will see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the very image of God. And when we come to the light, everything is different. When I was a very young attorney, I stayed for several weeks with an elderly widow in our church. She was a follower of Jesus. She was a lovely person, a terrible cook, but a wonderful person. And one evening at the dinner table, I asked her how she came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. She told me she was raised in a small island in one of the Shetland Islands, one of the smaller of the Shetland Islands. Perhaps to you, that's the end of the world. And someone, she said, came to her and told her about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And she said, as a young woman, she'd started working. She said, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. That was many, many years previously. She was an elderly woman. And I asked her, I said to her, Mrs. Peterson, did your life change in any way once you came to Jesus Christ? And she smiled and she said, I can remember this conversation vividly as we sat at the table. She said, my life changed dramatically. I saw everything differently. And I really didn't understand her. I said, in what way did you see things differently? She said, well, let me explain. She says, every day, as a young woman, I left this little island, went on a ferry to one of the larger islands in Shetland where I worked. And she said, I'd made that journey many, many times, but after I came to Jesus Christ, she said, John, I saw everything different. The very colors of the sky seemed different. The plumage of the birds, the different shades of color on the sea. But what happened? Our enemy, who blinds our minds, distorts our very understanding and comprehension of the natural world, far more the spiritual world. And at her funeral, her family asked if I might say a few words at the graveside. And I told that story. And we have in our hymn book, and I quoted it from George Robinson. The hymn says, "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am His and He is mine." I can testify, as every follower of Jesus Christ can testify, when you have a true encounter with Jesus, who is the light, everything in your world is transformed. You look at things differently, because the darkness of your mind and of your soul and of your heart has been changed. Now, what's our response to this? What's our response to Jesus, who is the light for the nations? I have three suggestions. First, we must personally experience the light. Have you had a personal experience with Jesus, who is the light? The Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. You see, this light of the gospel, the light of Jesus, can sometimes make us feel very uncomfortable. This light never flatters us. This light has no shifting shadows. It never compromises. It's always a pure light and reveals what we really are. In John chapter 9, there's a man who's been blind from birth, and he's told by Jesus, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Jesus is going to use a very unusual method of bringing light to this man. But the blind man in John 9 doesn't argue with Jesus. He simply obeys, and he experiences the light. Some of you have been coming here for a long time, but you've never yet had a personal encounter with Jesus. You know about Jesus. You even enjoy singing these hymns and songs that we've sung, but you've never known the light of God in your heart. I want to say to you, go wash. Obey Christ. He will display the darkness of your life. Because on the cross, our Lord Jesus takes all of our darkness, in fact, goes into physical darkness, goes into spiritual darkness, so that we can be forgiven as He rises from the dead, and He offers us now, offers you and me, this supernatural life and this wonderful light. And the more you experience Christ, the more you love Christ, the brilliance of the light will shine more and more. Proverbs 4, verse 18, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." You get up in the morning and it's dark, and then the sun begins to come. And bit by bit, the light gets brighter and brighter. So it is with the path of the righteous. As we follow Christ, as we experience Christ, that light in our heart and our soul becomes brighter and sweeter. What am I saying to you? I'm saying experience the light. Receive Christ into your life. First, experience the light. Secondly, follow the light. Are you doing that? In the Old Testament, the Lord provided a light, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But now, with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world, God doesn't just provide a light. He is the light. So Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the light for the nations." Left to ourselves, we have secrets and we have habits we don't want exposed. But Jesus says, "Now, if you follow me, you will not walk in the darkness." The light dispels the darkness. And just as a lighthouse shines a warning to ships, when you follow Jesus, the light of the world, He will keep you from danger. There's a lot of darkness out there. Not just in Africa, not just in the Philippines. There's a lot of darkness right here in Charlotte, isn't there? There's a lot of darkness in our schools. There's a lot of darkness in our society. There's a lot of darkness in our politics. There's a lot of darkness in our homes. There's a lot of darkness in our hearts. But here is the promise. Jesus will never, never lead you into the darkness. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, he will, as the psalmist says, he leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Day by day, as you get up in the morning, look to Christ, follow the light. The darkness, I understand, can be very enjoyable. The darkness sometimes can be very alluring. And what is necessary then? It's necessary in that darkness for the light to shine. I remember when Goody and I first arrived in Dallas, we weren't used to cockroaches. It's too cold where we come from for them. And we'd never really seen live cockroaches before. And here we were in Dallas. And in Texas, everything is bigger. The Texans tell us. They're very humble people, just like the Scots. But everything's bigger. And in Texas, these cockroaches are huge. I mean, I'd seen smaller rats. And my wife, for some unknown reason, reacted in a kind of emotional way to these terrible little creatures that we'd never experienced. We'd go into our apartment. What's the first thing we did? Put on the light. What happened to the cockroaches? They scatter into their dirty little homes. They love the dark because their deeds are evil. You have evil and darkness in your heart, don't you? Some of you say you're following Jesus, but you've compromised. And today, at the conclusion of this conference where we want to hear God speaking to us, I want to hear what God has for me. I want to be open to what God has for me. But if I'm in the dark, and if I'm compromised, and if I'm shutting out Christ and his word, I'm going to continue in my own little dark world. And when the light shines, I'm going to get very defensive. And I'm going to try and rationalize my evil rather than being open to the light shining into my heart. Follow the light and live an extraordinary life. Now, the main thing I want to say, and with this I conclude, experience the light, follow the light, but be a witness for the light. I want you to be a witness for the light. I want you to be open. Are you? I say this to my fellow pastors. I say this to my fellow elders and deacons and the Bible study leaders and the Sunday school teachers and the youth workers and those that just sung in the choir and to all of us. Are you really willing to be a witness for Jesus wherever he may send you? When we came here 11 years ago, Goodney said, well, this is our last move. If we go anywhere else, you're going alone. I mean, wasn't that a terrible thing to say? So after rebuking her, I had to say, well, but I knew what she said. I don't know how many homes we've lived in over the years. But we want, my wife and I, we want to be open to what God has for us. How could it be anything else? Don't you? Don't you? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Here it is about the light. Philippians 2, verse 14. When I met with the missionaries on Wednesday, one of them turned to this and we read and we thought about it. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish. Notice this. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Isn't that brilliant? Our Lord commands us to go and make disciples of all of the nation. He commands us to be light to the end of the world. But Paul, in the first century, is writing about a crooked and twisted generation. Think of the distortion, the spin, the lies in our culture, as well as the increasing departure from the Word of God. Do you think, here in Charlotte, we live in a crooked and twisted generation? Do you think our society here in the United States is becoming more and more Christ-like, or is becoming more and more crooked and twisted? It's easy for us to think of the darkness overseas, and it's certainly dark, as we've heard. But we, here in North Carolina, live in a crooked and twisted generation. You don't know who to believe. What is the command? Paul says, in this dark world, we are to shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, shining like stars in the sky for Jesus, making visible the invisible Christ in this dark world. In the first century, these stars were used not just to be admired, and I love looking at the stars, but were used for navigational aids. The path to safety was by following the stars. And as we shine, don't we? We guide our families and others. I trust we do, into paths of truth and righteousness. I can't emphasize too much that it is Jesus who is the light of the nations. That is, we are to lift up Jesus. The ministry is not about me. It's not about our missionaries. It's about Christ. We are to hold fast to the word of life. That means, and I speak to our missionaries, I speak to our leaders, I speak to all of us, we must never deviate from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought it was wonderful that Brother Yearwood from Trinidad, that's a magnificent accent. I really like that accent. That the man was surprised by how straightforward the message of the Bible is, as opposed to the twists and turns of Islam. The message is simple, isn't it? The gospel. Many of us came to Christ as children. But God so loved the world. A simple message. And we must never, never, particularly when we pursue higher education, can I say, we must never, ever deviate from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and never, ever compromise the word of God. The light of the nations is Jesus. It's not my idea, it's not my philosophy, it's not my spin. It's not my strategy. It's Christ. It is He who is building the church. And that message, that wonderful message, that there is salvation in no one else, that He's the way, that He's the truth, that He is the life, that message must go to the end of the earth. Our enemy is very, very devious, and he wants us to water down a message where my feelings, my emotion, my ideas, my desire for social justice, that they crowd out the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I remind you that my feelings, my ideas, my emotions must never, ever be the source of truth, rather the inspired word of God. We are to hold fast the word of life. And I say to our missionary brothers, I say to our leaders at Calvary, let us continue to hold fast the word of life without compromise. There is no other way to shine for Jesus. And we can't allow our crooked and perverse generation to set our agenda. We must never change our message to make it more palatable. The gospel of Jesus, don't we believe this? It is the only power in the whole universe which can deliver people from darkness into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God. There's no other message. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's persecuted, he's stoned, he's thrown into prison. He says, I'm not ashamed. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, Jew and Gentile. whoever you are, this is our belief, this is our passion, that we proclaim Christ. The great preacher Chrysostom spoke of men who had sore eyes, who find the light painful, while the darkness, which permits them to see nothing, is restful and agreeable. Never, ever get used to the darkness. And when you keep your eyes on Jesus, the light will continue to shine. We're not the light, says John the Baptist. No, we're a witness to the light. Are you? Are you a witness to the light? When did you last tell someone about Jesus? The last couple of days I thought, when was the first time I told someone about Jesus? And when I was about 6 or 7, wasn't a believer in Christ, didn't come to saving faith in Christ till I was 12, but was taught this message by my mother, by my father, in our godly home. And it was Halloween, a little different those days in Scotland. And as you went door to door, you had to do something, do a dance, stand on your head, shout, scream, sing, whatever it was, do some magic show or something. And this is going to shock some of you. I decided I was going to sing. I hadn't been told by anyone that I couldn't sing. And I keep waiting for Tim to ask me to do a solo here, but it hasn't come. And I remember singing this. I'm not going to sing it, but I'd learned it from my parents in Sunday school. J stands for Jesus, the Savior's own name. And when we call him Jesus, and when we call him Jesus, and when we call him Jesus, we call him by his name. And even as a wee boy, I realized that the reaction from many of the people at the doors was not particularly affirming. Oh, a six-year-old boy is to be a witness for Jesus. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. Children, in your school, among your friends, be a witness for Jesus. Down through the years, I've tried to hold up Christ. Many times I've failed. Many times I've missed opportunities. Sometimes I've been afraid when confronted by very godly and well-educated people and thought they would laugh at me if I told them about Jesus. But in God's grace, we're to keep the light shining. And this week of missions, we've met missionaries from all over the world, and they've told us of a great need. I wonder what's going to be your response. The great need of the darkness in Europe. What a dark continent is Europe. The darkness of the Islamic countries. How dark it is. Millions without Christ. The darkness of the tribes of Africa we've heard about. Thousands and thousands who need to come to the light of Jesus Christ. We've thought of the darkness of the Philippines, of Indonesia. The need is absolutely overwhelming. The darkness of the urban centers of our world. And my question too is, what's your response? Will you take this card that we put in? Take the card and you're looking up and look at it with me. What is your personal response? Career, mission service, full time? I've been praying for that. I've been praying that for some of our leaders. I mentioned that Sunday night. Perhaps one of our pastors, one of our elders, one of our deacons and their family, one of our adult life group. You've been studying the Bible for years. You love Bible studies. Your head's full of Bible knowledge, but you really never tell anyone else about Jesus. Isn't it time to take all of that knowledge and say, Lord, I'll serve you? Is there a boy or a girl that the Spirit of God has been touching your heart and say, I want to be a missionary? Is there a young adult? And so many young adults are self-absorbed to say, I'm going to serve the Lord. What about a young married couple? You say, well, we've got children. Didn't you hear our missionaries? Isn't God going to take care of you? What a wonderful experience to grow up on a mission field. What about seniors? Some of you have retired. God's given you great health. God's given you resources. And instead of planning the next 20, 30 years playing golf or fishing or just basically living a very self-indulgent life, you say, I'm going to serve Jesus. Here I am. Short-term mission opportunity. Perhaps to partner with one of our missionaries for 6 months, serving with them. Our go trip. I'd like all of you at some point to go on a go trip. Local missions, we saw the street ministry, many others. English as a second language. I spoke with some young women this week as they're going up to the third floor. All over the world, coming to Charlotte, wanting to learn English. What an opportunity for you to teach them not only English, but to shine for Jesus. What about the prison ministry? Many, many open doors into our prisons. Our missionaries were there. 30 prisoners on Tuesday professed faith in Christ. 14 recommitted their life. Praying consistently, not just this week, but every month you would get prayer requests from these missionaries and all of our missionaries that you can pray to be available to serve. Will you fill in this card? I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, as we sing in a minute, to fill in this card and to come forward in an act of worship and place it here and say, here I am. I want to shine for Jesus Christ. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. What is your response? Will you bow with me as we pray? And then Tim's going to lead us in a song. And then I'm going to ask you, yes, to get out of your seats, balcony there. I'd ask people not to leave at this point. Your ALG, your lunch, whatever it is, can wait unless it's an emergency. This is the most important time of our missions conference. So let's give focus here. Let me pray. And as I pray, will you ask the Lord to speak to you? Eternal God and our Father, we quieten our hearts and we thank you that Jesus is the light of the nations. We ask, what will you have us to do? Speak to us, Father. Father, speak to some boy or girl that would step forward and saying, I want to shine for Jesus. Some older person, Father, I do pray. We think of the great need in our beautiful city of Charlotte, and yet has so much darkness, that we would get involved in local missions, that we would pray for our missionaries, Father, that we would be willing to go, yes, literally to the end of the earth as we hear your call. Speak to us, Father. We do pray as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.